Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So this morning I'm excited about this word. It's a little different, so stick with me. But to start with, I need to know this, all right? It's a little bit of confession time with Emma, as it usually is when I'm up here. Does anyone else find that God talks to them in like the most random non-spiritual places? You know, I hear people like they're on their knees praying and God gives them a download. Like I do hear from God when I'm doing quiet time, but I'm telling you, I hear from God in the most random of places, watching the most random of shows, doing the most random things. And then I feel like, I literally feel the presence of God like talk to my heart. I don't know if that's just because I'm a really super busy mom and pastor and God's like chasing me to try and like, hey, Emma, like maybe it's not actually a good thing. But I'm telling you, I get the most random downloads from God. And I had one recently that I wanted to share with you. So for those of you that don't know, which I don't know how you don't, because, I mean, hello, I'm working out here, people. At least give it to me, okay? So I've been trying to go to the gym for the last three months, trying and actually succeeding. Thank you, Jesus. Now, like, to know why you need to clap, I need to take you on a little bit of a journey, a fitness journey that I've been on, okay? I have never been someone that's been a fitness person, but I put it on my vision card this year. I was going to be somebody who actually enjoyed fitness. It wasn't going to be something I tolerated. It was going to be something that became a lifestyle. So I went into this year all gung-ho, and I got to be honest, it didn't work out so well. I tried something called Pilates Reformer Class. Has anyone done one of those? Okay, I see by the pain on your face, yes, you have done one of those. Like, that was the first thing I did, and I gotta tell you, it did not work out pleasantly for me or anyone else in that class. I actually got stuck in the springs. No joke, I had to have two people in that class help pull my leggings out of the thing, and I am way too uncoordinated for Pilates Reformer, so I moved on from that. And then I went into something which I'm like, okay, Emma, think about your personality. What's going to suit you? So then I went to Zumba. Have we had anybody that's done Zumba? Zumba, anyone? Okay. I was like, this is so up my alley. I can do that. But then I discovered very quickly I was just too excited in Zumba. I didn't realize that you were actually meant to be following certain steps. I was just jamming out. I was getting down. And the teacher kept getting mad at me. She's like, no, you got to do these steps. And I'm like, hey, I freestyle, right? Don't try and control the movements of my body, okay? It does what it wants. So couldn't do Zumba, couldn't do that at all. And then I tried, well, maybe I should try something outside. You know, people do things outside, like, I don't know, walking, hiking, various things. But then I had this discovery, I'm just way too white to be outside. Like, I literally am allergic to the sun. Like, I have to literally reapply sunscreen every 4 minutes, otherwise I burn. So I'm like, well, the outside is out. So I had this whole journey of just trying to find my fit, but then I stumbled upon something. It's called a HIIT class. Has anyone done a HIIT class before? For those that don't know the fitness terminology like me, because I feel so smart, HIIT class is a high intensity interval training, okay? So this had everything that I needed, okay? It had really loud, obnoxious music, check. It was a social setting, you could actually talk to people during it, check. Okay, the moves weren't that hard, that I could do them most of the time, so check. The room's a little bit dark, so my coordination was kind of hidden. Check. So I've been doing this thing, okay? So I finally found something that could be like my fitness, like fit. I don't know, if I had a fitness animal, it would be a HIIT class. So here I am in this HIIT class, and I tell you, I get a download from God in the most random of places. I'm on something called a Versa Climber. I don't know if you guys know what it is. Think of like running in the air on a ladder. It's not a pretty picture. I won't go into it too much. But I'm on there, and I'm covered in sweat, and I don't think it's just my sweat, which is kind of awkward, because there's this guy beside me that I thinks is Justin Bieber, and he keeps like flicking his hair. And I'm getting like a little bit of a secondary shower. So I'm covered in sweat. And then God gives me this picture. So one thing about HIIT training that you need to know is they actually give you something called a heart rate monitor, which you wear on your arm. And the purpose of that heart rate monitor is that during your workout, you can look up on a screen and you're able to see the condition of your heart throughout the workout. And as I'm looking at my screen, I really felt God give me a picture of what I'm looking at right now. He gave me a picture of a Sunday morning exactly like this, with people exactly like you. And I had this picture of everybody in here wearing a heart rate monitor. But rather than it assessing their natural heart, it was actually assessing their spiritual heart. And up on this screen, rather than, you know, pictures of what people are doing on the exercise machine, it was actually pictures of where people were at in terms of their relationship with Jesus, how active their heart was in terms of Christianity. And I turn around and I look in the screen. It was almost like a vision. And I was quite shocked to see that, and we'll go through the colours in a minute, there was a lot of hearts that actually were not very engaged at all. And it really got me to a point where I'm like, man, this is a series right now. It's called Honey, I Shrunk the Church. We're talking about how as we get bigger as a church, how do we get smaller in focus? And I really felt God say to me, listen, the answer to how to stay smaller as you go bigger is a whole bunch of cool like strategies in terms of ministry. It's connect groups, it's serving, it's all these incredible things. But what it really is making sure that we're talking about the thing that matters, about how your heart is. Because I'm telling you, if we can take really good care of our hearts, it actually doesn't matter how big we get or how, you know, busy it gets in here. Because I'm telling you, if our hearts can stay healthy, I'm telling you, we can actually take a city. So that's what I want to talk about today. So I'm going to go ahead and ask everyone to close their eyes. I'm going to pray over this morning. God, I thank you, Father. I thank you that you will speak to people in the most random of ways, and even covered on sweat in a workout class, you could speak to me a word that I feel is going to be a key to unlocking some things on the inside of people this morning. God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit preaches more than my words do. Father, I just declare over hearts that they would be open to hear the whisper of your Holy Spirit today. God, I pray that people don't come to be informed today, but they get transformed, that they get their mind renewed, Father, by your presence. So, Father, we just give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so the title of my message this morning is called Orange Theory, Orange Theory. Has anyone actually done an Orange Theory class? Yeah, I haven't, which is really funny that I Googled it, so I figured I'd been there, kind of. But the thing I do is kind of similar to that. So what the heck is Orange Theory? What the heck is Orange Theory? Honestly, it's just a fancy fitness craze going on right now, but it all speaks to the science of what I was talking about, that you can actually scientifically track when you're working out to see how hard your heart is working. So you're able to measure, is it time for me to push and go further, or is it time for me to sit back and rest? So that is what an Orange Theory class is. Now, Orange Theory is broken down into 5 colors, one of which is orange. So I'm going to actually put the slide up so we can see what some of these colors are. So it actually looks at like the different oxygen levels of your heart. So they're able to actually measure, which is pretty fancy. Yay, scientists. Able to actually figure out how hard your heart is working. So they have like zone 1, which is pretty much you're asleep. This is where if you're on your couch eating a packet of Doritos, you're going to be right there in that gray zone right there. Anyone relate to that? That's all right. No shame in Jesus Christ. It's fine. It is very light activity. It's where you're using sometimes less than half of your heart's capacity. And then it goes down from there. And you've got blue zone, which is your warming up. So that's people that are just walking into the exercise class. You know, maybe they got a little bit of a sweat on trying to get their Lycra on and their shoes on, but they're still right at the beginning of the journey. And then we have the green zone. This is where you're active, but it's very doable. You're very in control. You can still have a conversation. You can still laugh a little bit about the trainer who's very intense. That's right where you are. Zone number 3. But then we get to our orange zone, zone number 4. This is where things start to get a little uncomfortable. This is where, they say, and this is where the orange theory kicks in. In this orange zone, so all exercise is good for you, but they say if you can get your heart to that place where the orange is, this is where you're going to lose the most weight and gain the most muscle. And then the perk of this is that not only will you lose the weight there, it will actually continue on 24 to 36 hours afterwards. So some of the benefits of staying in the orange zone are your metabolism increases, all these things. You get increased energy, all of these things. Stick with me here, I'm going somewhere. And then you get to zone 5, which is you are throwing it all out on the field. There is nothing left. If you're anything like me, you're going and dying. That's the red zone. Anyone relate to the red zone? There we go. Okay, so this is what it is in the natural. I kind of want to talk about that if we had a heart rate monitor that was looking at our hearts in the spiritual, what it would look like. So, as I said, I'm in this workout class on the VersaClimber. think I'm a little bit like Beyonce, but then I realize I don't have a cute outfit, my hair doesn't look good, and sweat really isn't my thing. And I feel God downloading this word to me that, hey, do people actually stop and really ask themselves the state of their heart? Because I'm telling you, there's been this massive exercise craze because people so like to know, hey, if I'm out on the field and I'm doing this, if I'm in a class, I want to know that I'm actually winning at this thing. And then it made me think about church. Isn't church a little bit like an exercise class? Go with me here. Because you go to the gym because you want to lose stuff that you don't want. You want to gain muscle. You want a trainer to tell you how to do things. And you want a bunch of people to your left and your right to keep yourself motivated. Does that not sound a little bit like church? And then I was thinking, man, that is the greatest picture you've given me, God. Really, when we come to church on a Sunday, we don't realize it. We're actually bringing our heart to come have a workout. And maybe we've never thought about that before. And if we don't think about it, then it would be very easy for us, even in church right now, to be right here in the gray. And how sad would that be? You're not actually that different than you would be at home eating a bag of Doritos. And that made me think of, what did God actually create the heart to be? Did he create it to stay in a place of rest? Or was our heart actually created because it was meant to be engaged and produce something in us? So I want to read this scripture over you. It's from Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and it says this. When we became followers of Christ, God took our stony, stubborn hearts and gave us tender, responsive hearts. So did you know that when you became a Christian, you actually signed up almost to the world's biggest exercise class? You're in an exercise class all the time, you just didn't know it. Because it actually took the stony, hard bits of our heart and actually gave us a heart back. That was not flesh, it was spirit. And actually says in the word that we're created to have tender, responsive hearts. So I just want to ask the question, I'm going to keep asking it because I know it's poking a sore spot for some people. It certainly did for me. How tender and responsive is your heart? Because, and I love that Annika kind of talked about it already today, how easy is it to just sit in church but actually not respond to anything going on? It's kind of like, how easy is it, and I've done this once or twice, no judgment, to get all dressed up for the gym, you got the shoes, you got the pants, you got the thing, and you're sitting in the gym looking like you're working out, but really you haven't done a dang thing. And how easy is that to do that to church? We can sit in here and we look like we're working out, we've got the Bible, we're sitting in the seat, we've got our hair combed, but really there is nothing working on the inside of our heart. I love that verse in Ezekiel because it reminds us why God gave us a heart in the first place. And why we're different from all the other animals God created. Because God created in us a heart and he replaced it. When we became a Christian, when we said to him, I want to follow you, Jesus, he replaced the stoniness and the hardness with something that was meant to be tender and responsive. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it springs life. The flow of life, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What's interesting about that verse is that it actually says, you watch over it. It actually doesn't say, hey, come to church and have your pastor look over it or have your connect leader. Yeah, that's going to be helpful, but it actually puts the responsibility on us. So as we get bigger, how do we get smaller? Is I think reminding ourselves that we're all responsible to keep our hearts tender and responsive to God. I think if you wonder how people get left behind and how they just, you know, warm a seat on a Sunday as opposed to actually warming up, is that they forget that the workout that happens here isn't a collective thing, it's an individual thing. You know, yes, we grow corporately, and yes, you know, we are seeing numeric growth, but I'm telling you, we can grow all we want and you could still stay exactly the same. Just like I could go to the gym and have like people to my right and to my left and they could be in the red zone. But if I'm not actually doing anything, I'm still gray. You know, and that's, I know, what God hasn't called us to do. I know the theory of the orange actually exists just as much for the spirit as it does the natural. Matthew 13 verse 15 warns us that people's hearts can become calloused. People's hearts can become calloused. It says that it results in people hardly being able to hear God with their ears, and it has caused their eyes to shut, which in turn, it makes them unable to receive the healing God had for them. So, you know, as a pastor, I come across a lot of people that are desperate for God to heal them, that are desperate for God to rock up. And that made me think that verse. But maybe the issue isn't God's God, the issue is our heart not being tender and receptive to receive what God does. I'm telling you, God is attracted to a tender and responsive heart. It is like a trainer is very responsive to someone who's in the orange and the red zone. It is hard for a trainer to get excited when you're just rocking up and staying gray. I'm telling you, just like a trainer is responsive to someone who's willing to actually make space for some change to happen, so is God in each of us this morning. So I want to ask you the question, is Matthew talking about you this morning? Do you think that when you ask yourself the question, what is the condition of my heart? Do you think that there is some calluses there which leaves you in a place that you're unable to receive the healing that God has portioned for you? This topic is so important. And listen, I know it's simple. I try to come up with smarter things to say up here, but it always gets boiled down to this. This is so important. I'm telling you, just like in the natural, in the spiritual, your heart is the most important organ you have because your heart is a receptor between you and Jesus. It's important that we talk about this stuff because I'm telling you, without it, we have way too many people being robbed of the health that Jesus died on the cross for them to have. Come on, I don't want to live with calluses, unable to receive the measure that God poured out over me. So the orange theory is this, that over a 60-minute workout, if you can spend like 12 to 15 minutes in the orange in a place where you're responsive, it actually says from that point on, you're going to begin to, as I said, let go of stuff that you shouldn't be holding on to, i.e. Lolitas, donuts, insert things here. And you're going to be able to pick up all the things that you want. Fitness, feeling good, energy, a better metabolism. Exactly the same thing that happens here. I'm telling you, we have an hour and a half every time we come into church. How incredible would it be to even just make sure that a portion of why you're sitting in the seat is filled with a moment where you're actually letting go of some things that you shouldn't be carrying anyway. No one wants to be carrying extra pounds that they don't need to. You know, no one wants to be carrying unforgiveness and regret and bitterness and pain. You know, if we could just make sure that when we're actually encountering the presence of God, we're actually letting our heart rate respond to a point where we can actually let go of the things that we're called to let go of, how much better would we all be looking at the end of it? So what are some of the indicators that your heart is operating in the orange zone? Because it's very easy to talk about this in theory, but let's actually talk about it in the practical. So I can speak personally for when I'm working out. Like when I'm not in the orange and I'm looking up there and I'm in the gray and the blue, the first thing I look to is actually what am I doing to cause my heart to respond? Usually I'm being a bit lame with what I'm doing. I'm like a 6-pound dumbbell. It's not going to do anything, you know what I mean? I have to look at myself and go, what exercise am I doing? Because obviously whatever I'm doing isn't equaling my heart responding. Same for the natural, same for the spirit. So I guess point number one today in terms of like assessing where your heart is at is number one, what exercise are you actually doing with your heart? Matthew 15 verse 8 says this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Can I just say this, and this is ouchy for me as much as it is for you this morning. Do you know that coming to church isn't the same as being the church? That coming to church isn't the same thing as being the church. That when God gave us a new heart, it actually says that we became the church, the place where Jesus dwells. So yes, this building is the church, but you and I are also the church, people says. So you don't come to church, you are the church. But it is so easy to limit our engagement with Jesus to just participation, like to just spectate, when we're actually called to go all out, to hit that orange zone to a place where we actually look different on the other side of it. It's pretty easy to cheat the gym without a heart rate monitor, to be honest. I've done that before, I'm being honest. Like, yeah, I was in the gym for an hour. Let's be honest, I was on Instagram for 23 of it. I got water and did a really slow, you know, walking to the thing. You know, I did some various stretches. It's really easy to cheat the gym, and it's actually really easy to cheat church. It can look like you're doing all the right things, you know. You're in here, you kind of, you know, closed your eyes during the worship song. You did a little bit of a nod at the preacher when they were talking. You can fake this really easily. But I'm telling you, just like in the gym, you're eventually going to tell that you've been cheating the exercises. You will be the same at church. Don't cheat yourself out of what this experience is every Sunday morning. I'm telling you, you're here. Come, if you're already here, you may as well work out. You've already got your shoes on. You've already got your spiritual pants on. Come on, let's actually lift some things and walk out of here looking a little bit more buff this morning in Jesus' name. Okay, cheating exercise. Has anyone done the thigh squisher? Has anyone done that one where you just, I can't do it because it's really inappropriate, but you know what, you just, anyway, you get the point. I won't give you that visual. I don't think that does anything, but you can waste a good 20 minutes on that if you want to. Don't do the thigh squisher in church, okay, where you're just wasting time and not producing anything. Proverbs 27 verse 19 says this, as a face is reflected in the water, so the heart reflects the real person. As a face is reflected in the water, so the heart reflects the real person. You actually can't really hide from your trainer very well when you have a heart rate monitor. Again, believe me, I've tried. I'm one of those awful people. I think my trainer's coming to the 12, so I'm going to like fess myself out here. But when I see her coming, I'll work really hard. When I see her moving away, I like, oh. But here's the thing. Oh, come on, you've all done it. You've all done it. You've all done it. But here's the thing. She knows because she's looking at my heart rate and she's like, if you were actually doing that consistently, your heart wouldn't have dropped down to a blue. You would have been right there in the orange. But how many times do we do that to God and our leadership? Like we kind of like try to trick God. Like, oh yeah, God, I'm totally cool. All is good down here. But God knows. He's looking at the condition of your heart. He can see the engagement. He can see how hard this heart that he's given you, that he gave his only son to die on the cross for, he can see how much you're using it. And how much it must break his heart to know that the heart he gave you is only being used half to the capacity of what he actually purposed it to be. How sad it must be knowing your heart to see yourself let go of some things that you don't want to and gain some muscles of faith, and you actually can't even get it because you're staying at a level where that stuff doesn't come. I'm telling you, I feel there's a prophetic breakthrough edge to this word today. God is trying to encourage you. You've been praying the prayers. You've been rocking up to the gym, but you actually haven't put in the work to see the results that you are so desperate for God to bring you. You can't hide your heart condition from God. A lot of people have a relationship with God that's head deep and not heart deep. It's the same thing. I'm telling you, God knows the difference. God didn't call us to love him with our heads. He called us to love him with our hearts. He didn't even call us to respond to him with our heads. He asked us to respond to him with our heart. Relationship with Jesus is not religion. Relationship is time spent engaging with his heart. The way to engage Jesus' heart is with your own heart. You actually can't engage Jesus on any other thing. You can do all the right religious things in the world. That doesn't engage the heart of Jesus. The only way you can engage the heart of Jesus is actually through your own heart. Religion never will. And I tell you, we've talked a lot about a religious spirit here at South Campus because I'll be honest, coming in here, I was kind of shocked how many people had limited and put a ceiling on their Christianity based on a religion rather than a relationship with Jesus. And it made my heart so sad. Because all religion does is it actually takes you out of being able to have a heart that's fully engaged with Jesus. How sad. You can have, again, it's like that sad story of somebody sitting in the gym all dressed up looking like they're ready to work out, but really they haven't done anything. But I think that's the story so often, you know, in church today. You've got a whole bunch of people dressed up for a Sunday, but actually walking out the exact same way they came in. So how do we up the level? How do we go a little bit beast mode this morning? Does anyone want to know? Does anyone want a beast mode? That wasn't convincing. Does anyone want a beast mode? All right, I'll get you there. What about this one? What about rather than coming in on a Sunday and singing, what about you actually worship instead? And I'm preaching this to myself. That stung a little bit. It is so easy to come in here and you can pretend, you know, you're getting your Jesus song on. But really what you're doing is just you can close your eyes and it's socially appropriate and you can have a little micro sleep. I've been there, okay? But I'm telling you, we have 20 minutes every Sunday. Well, that's why you got to be here on time. Because I'm telling you, it'll just become songs if you don't have a revelation that 20 minutes is actually turning singing into worship. It's taking you from the gray into the orange. Come on, we got to get a revelation. We are not a church that just sings songs for the sake of singing songs. We are not a karaoke church. We're a church that believes that worship shifts your heart up a gear. It takes you to a zone point of looking like you're asleep and being apathetic in your faith to being someone that is truly engaged with the heart of Jesus. We got to change reading the Word of God to actually meditating on the Word of God. Telling you it's so easy to just read words and let them fall by the wayside. Or you can actually take the Word of God and you can plant it like a seed in your heart. You can meditate over that thing and it can actually become a seed that turns into something that's actually going to change your life. So come on, let's not read the Word. Let's be meditators of the Word. This is an ouchy one. We can go from tipping God to actually tithing. There's a difference. I'm telling you, there's a difference because I felt it in my heart. I'm telling you, it's so easy to look like, yeah, I give to God. But I'm telling you, tipping God doesn't please God. That's not what the Bible says. Obedience pleases God. Submission to God. Trust in God actually pleases God. So come on, can we change it from tipping God to actually being obedient to His Word and tithing? Can we change it from talking to God to actually engaging in prayer? Because again, there's a difference. Hey, if you're not yet coming to our prayer meetings, Tuesday mornings, men, 5:30, ladies, 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., we need to, as Christians, for the sake of our heart, learn the difference between talking to God and actually praying. So this is the difference. And praying is talking to God, but I'm telling you, listening to more and more prayer languages, I realize that people think talking to God is like giving Him a laundry list or a shopping list of everything they need. I'm telling you, that's not what prayer was designed to be. Yes, we can approach God and ask Him, but I'm telling you, what prayer is actually bringing heaven to earth. It's engaging our heart. It's taking it from being a natural to a supernatural. It's reminding ourselves of the promises and the authority we have in Him. I'm telling you, let's not just be people that know how to talk to God. Let's be people that know how to pray. Could we be that we change from spectating church to actually participating in church? I'm telling you, it is so much more powerful to be here on a Sunday when you're a shareholder and what's happening. I'm telling you, if you go to a company and you don't have any buy-in in it, you don't really care if they're doing well or they're not. But when you've put a little bit of you and there's a little bit of your, you know, your seed in that, I'm telling you, you care that that thing goes well. Church is going to change for you. There's some people that church is a chore. I'm telling you, it could be as simple as actually just choosing to serve. Because all of a sudden it goes, you can't criticize something you're a part of. That's like criticizing your own children. You're really criticizing yourself. When they're your children, you know that you're actually part of the solution. The change you want to see actually lies in you. Same for the raising of kids. Same for the church. Come on, we are not called to ever spectate on a Sunday. We are called to participate in this thing called the Great Commission. And we actually can't do it without you. Please don't leave it all to Drew and I. I do not know what would happen. Believe me, we need you on this. Come on, church is a place to participate in, not spectate. And then come on, let's not just do the actions of church. Let's be activated. All right, because then we're going from gray right up into the orange. All right, the second thing. Don't stay comfortable, push. So the difference between the gray and the blue to the orange, where the gap comes is actually you go from being comfortable to being uncomfortable. Did you know when God created this rescue plan for planet Earth called the local church, He didn't put the local church here because He wanted a bunch of Christians to feel comfortable. Like that wasn't His plan. He put the church here because He knew that hearts have a tendency to get calloused quite easily. So He wanted to put a bunch of gyms around this planet called the local church that made sure that people were staying free of the weight of the sin that so easily entangles, the Bible says, and actually stay buff in the spirit with strength and the armory of heaven at their disposal, ready to fight what comes their way. I'm telling you, God did not put you in this place to feel comfortable. So if you've been feeling comfortable in church for a while, I would say that you're probably maybe not in the zone God had actually created your heart to be. I'm going to be very transparent. Church is uncomfortable for me regularly because I'm actually listening and letting the Word of God penetrate my heart and actually cause me to ask the questions of where I need to step up and let God step in. So come on, let's make sure that we are never staying comfortable. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. I think I would have really liked C.S. Lewis. He seems like a cool dude. For those of you that don't know, an amazing, is he a philosophy person? He was an author. He was very cool. But listen to this quote. It's amazing. It says this: I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. So, so true. I'm telling you, if you're just looking for a spiritual thing to do, I don't know if Christianity is the place to stay comfortable. Because when I read my Bible and when I see the men and women of God that he puts before us in the Bible, these weren't people living comfortable lives. These are people on a radical journey to see this world turned upside down with the power of God. You were made to go all in this Christian life. When God gave you a heart, like I've said before, he gave it to be fully activated, not just at the 50% of what it was capable for. Comfort is so our default right now, particularly in this day and age. Everything's about geared towards making us feel comfortable. And it's so easy to take that into our Christian experience. Like we want all the nice scriptures in the Bible, the ones that Instagram really well. Sometimes we don't want the ones that are actually causing us to grow. They're the ones that are actually causing us to let go of the things that we need to. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I love that bit, "which God prepared in advance for us to do." When God knitted us together in our mother's womb, which the Bible says he did, he actually prepared our hearts to be ready to go all in, to go to the orange and red zones. When he actually put your heart together, he knew what it was capable of. I think sometimes we doubt what we're capable of, what our heart is capable of. But God doesn't doubt it, because it says in this scripture right here, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were not created to stay in the sidelines. We were not created to stay in a zone that didn't push us forward. This is another ouchy scripture. You ready? Revelation 3 verse 16. "So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." The Bible doesn't play sometimes, okay? It is telling you what it is. That is basically saying, hey, God doesn't want a bunch of unactivated hearts. He wants his church to be fully engaged with the mission he's given us. Come on, no one wants to be spat out of anyone's mouth. That sounds kind of gross. Can I say, I get that there's different seasons. There's some seasons where you're running really hard towards God. And remember, I'm talking about running hard towards God, not always about doing stuff at church. It's very easy, to be honest, to be in the red zone and actually not actually be growing. It's actually quite dangerous to be in the red zone for a long time. They say in a 60-minute workout, you should probably only be in the red zone like 3 minutes of it. Because any longer in the red zone, you actually can begin to do damage to your heart. That's why the orange theory is so powerful. Because in the orange, you're able to sustain it. You're able to do it for a long amount of time. And you're able to have the most benefit. I'm telling you, I get that there's different seasons. Like when we opened this building, we had a bunch of us in here that were running hard. We were in the red zone. But what I love is then we were able to settle back to the orange zone, still able to engage in God. And I want us all to remember that. And don't let a season become your story. It's so easy to be like, you know, and I get it. When you're a mom of a small baby, that's a totally different season. And, you know, you're on a journey. But don't let that one season of your life become the entirety of what your Christian walk looks like from there on. Philippians 4 verse 13. "For I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength." Come on, we can do anything for Jesus because it's his strength, not ours. So we don't have to worry about the strength of our heart. We just have to worry about the strength of his. And I'm telling you, it says in his word that we can do everything that he has asked us to do through him who gives us strength. All right, in the few minutes I have left, how do we get uncomfortable in church? Number one, you can say yes to the things that God's asking you to. Tell you, there's nothing more uncomfortable than a God yes. Because a God yes means you can't do it, you need him. So maybe that's a question for someone. When's the last time you said yes to God? When's the last time you gave God a big yes on something? Another way to get uncomfortable is get a trainer. I'm telling you, if I go to the gym by myself, I'm not going to go. I'm probably going to stay right down the bottom. But when I have a trainer who's telling me, you can do this, come on, you're nearly there, you've got this, come on. It's only 60 more seconds to go. I'm working harder, I'm pushing harder. That's why connect groups are so important, because they really are like the spiritual trainers we so need in our life. We need some people to see the finish line, because sometimes when we're in the fight, we can't see that it's just around the corner. I'm telling you, if you don't yet have trainers in your life, in this, your spiritual life, you need to get one, because it is a difference maker. You need to work out with your friends. I'm telling you, I said this before, when you work out with friends, it's so much funner than doing it on your own. But how like it is that the devil, we have a bunch of isolated Christians that are trying to do this spiritual gym activity on their own. That's not fun, and it also isn't motivating. We are meant to do this workout together. So as we grow individually, we're also going to grow together, being able to cheer on our friend to our right and to our left. Here's another one. How to be uncomfortable. You've got to allow yourself to feel resistance and tension. Like anyone that's done bodybuilding before, and I'm not going to pretend I know much about that, all right? But from what I know, from what I've Googled, all right, to do bodybuilding really well, you actually need a really heavy weight. You need the resistance to shape you. This is kind of an interesting point, but just go with me. It's actually okay to not agree with everything that's preached up here. It's actually okay to see some things in the culture that you're like, you know, I don't know how I feel like that. Because all that says to me is it's a resistance and a tension, and that's actually making you a stronger Christian. I'm telling you, too many people run away from the tension and the resistance when all that's trying to do is actually make you a more spiritually buff person. Come on, it's through the resistance and the tension sometimes that matures us. You go from being someone who's just started the gym to be someone who actually has an athletic, you know, posture when it comes to Christianity. Come on, don't let the resistance and the tension that can so often come up, you know, in the Christian walk take you out. Let it shape you into the person you're called to be. And then number three, train your heart. Train your heart. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 and 8 says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." How do we go from strength to strength? How do we train our bodies to be somebody that lives in the spirit, in the orange, as opposed to the gray? I love that scripture because it just says we just keep adding to what God's doing. We just let God keep taking us from strength to strength. So when we have faith, then he adds goodness. When we have self-control, he adds perseverance. And when we have perseverance, he adds godliness. I'm telling you, God is always on a quest to add to our strength. We don't go from weakness to strength. It says God says he takes us from strength to strength and then another strength and another strength. And then when you know, you look down and you're as buff as you've ever been before because you've let God shape you in his house. You've let the word of God come. And rather than, we talked about before, you just hearing the word, you've meditated on it. And it's actually created in you spiritual muscles that have set you up to go into this walk of faith well. The Christian life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. It isn't one class we take every Sunday at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle we're called to live. I had a season in my life where I just worked out once a week, and I have to tell you, it didn't do a lot. But now that I've started to do it regularly, I actually see the difference. And I'm telling you, there's a fair few of you that's a word for you this morning. It's like you come to church once a month, twice a month, and like, hey, why don't I look any different? Why isn't my circumstance any different? I'm telling you, no one can just go to the gym once a week and expect to look different. It's the consistency. It's the focus of actually picking up those weights day after day, week after week, where you'll begin to see the transformation that you have been believing God for. 1 Timothy 4 says this: "Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on a living God, savior of all men and women, especially believers." Come on, let's not be spiritually flabby. Sometimes some of us, maybe me, you know, we've got that happening in the natural. I don't need it in the supernatural as well, okay? I want to be somebody who is daily exercising. The Lord has given me a Bible full of tools on things that I can do to make myself a spiritual heavyweight champion of the world. And I'm telling you, I'm not silly enough to think that I don't need it. I know that I am a sinner who is in desperate need of a trainer to tell me how to push myself and get my heart to that place where it is responding to the tender heart that he actually created it to be. Did you know, this has been kind of a funny analogy, okay? What would it look like if we all had a spiritual heart rate monitor? Like, it seems like a funny idea. But do you know a spiritual heart rate monitor actually exists? It doesn't exist in the natural, but it does in the supernatural. His name is Jesus. Jeremiah 7 verse 10 says this. It tells us this: "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." God tells us right there, "I, the Lord, search the heart." I'm telling you, he is regularly putting his finger on your heart and testing the pulse to see where you're at. I want to ask the question again as we finish up today. What is the condition of your heart this morning? In Psalm 139, David says this. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path to everlasting life." I'm telling you, if you can let him, the Holy Spirit actually can come in and actually show you where your heart's at. Just like David did, I try and do this regularly. God, tell me, what is the condition of my heart? Am I just in the gym doing fake workouts? Or is my heart actually in a place of health? Is it actually in a place of engagement?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.